Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the financial crisis is, of course, a factor in the presidential race. John McCain, generally seen as the weaker candidate on the economy, had to backtrack on the stump yesterday after repeating something he had already taken a lot of criticism for. He said this in the morning in Jacksonville, Florida.
Our economy, I think, still, the fundamentals of our economy are strong, but these are very, very difficult times.
But by afternoon, after getting slammed by the Obama campaign for repeating that the fundamentals of the economy are strong, McCain said this.
I know Americans are hurting now, and the fundamentals of our economy are at risk. They are at risk. The great workers, the great innovators, because of the greed of Wall Street.
So in a few hours' time, the fundamentals went from strong to at risk. And for his part, Barack Obama was trying to tie McCain's philosophy of regulation to President Bush's.
It's a philosophy that says even common sense regulations are unnecessary and unwise. One that says we should just stick our heads in the sand and ignore economic problems until they spiral into crisis.
But McCain was trying to place the blame elsewhere.
The McCain-Palin administration will replace the outdated patchwork quilt of regulatory oversight and bring transparency and accountability to Wall Street. We will bring transparency and accountability, and we will reform the regulatory bodies of government.
So, how do Wall Street problems and the presidential race intersect? How are the candidates really different? With me now, Daniel Gross, who writes about money for Slate.com and Newsweek. Hello again, Daniel.
Hey, Brian.
So, let's go to that last McCain clip first. Do we have an outdated patchwork quilt of regulation over things like this?
The patchwork quilt is indeed outdated, but you know, one of the problems is that the seamstresses who are supposed to be updating this quilt, i.e. the Bush administration, have been really incompetent. So it's not just the sort of structural issue of regulatory oversight that is not optimal for these types of companies that we have today. It's just that the actual people who are supposed to be doing the oversight, whether it was Alan Greenspan, the people in the Treasury up until now, OPAO, the agency that oversaw Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they did a really poor job of overseeing things.
Well, is it incompetence or is it ideological opposition to regulation?
Well, as we've seen from the last 8 years, incompetence and ideological opposition to regulation often go hand in hand, don't they? We have had incompetence, but yes, there has been a strong overlay, you know, with Greenspan, who I don't think is getting quite enough mention as one of the kind of progenitors of this current mess. He was opposed to having greater regulation of investment banks, of the mortgage industry. Phil Graham, who is one of McCain's top advisors and presumably the guy he listens to a lot about all things Wall Street related, was one of the chief proponents of deregulation. His name was on the bill in 1999 that broke down the barriers separating investment banks and commercial banks. So, you know, McCain fits this into his narrative of corruption, reform, transparency, and accountability. The problem for him is I think his record doesn't really show him being a huge proponent of greater regulation, transparency, and accountability. And the people he has surrounded himself with are kind of the poster children for what not to do. I found it amazing that he was talking yesterday about CEOs getting big exit packages when their companies fail, standing next to Carly Fiorina, who will go down in history as one of the sort of failed CEOs of Silicon Valley who got a very large golden parachute when she was fired.
Some reporter should ask him about that. She's with him everywhere, a big supporter. She spoke at the Republican convention. I don't think it was carried in prime time by most of the channels, but she had a pretty good slot. We saw when we were there, and she appears with him a lot as kind of an indicator, as she's supposed to be, that McCain knows what he's doing with respect to the economy.
Indeed. And, you know, you can draw your own – conclusions. You know, the one of the problems for both campaigns is that very few business people, especially from Wall Street, have distinguished themselves as competent, and those that have are too busy doing real jobs to go on the campaign trail to support people. So they, you know, Obama has a similar problem. You know, people like Bob Rubin, who are in his corner, plenty of people on Wall Street, they don't really have the kind of social currency these days to get out there on the stump, out there on the TV shows to be surrogates, because they are now seen as part of the problem. Their stocks have all fallen, et cetera.
What about that particular flip-flop that McCain did from morning to afternoon, saying the fundamentals of the economy are still strong, to saying the fundamentals of the economy are at risk? He's already taken heat from Obama for this. It was in Obama's speech in Denver, knocking McCain for continuing to say the fundamentals of the economy are strong, which Obama claimed showed McCain to be out of touch. And, of course, you mentioned Phil Gramm. Phil Gramm had said we're a nation of whiners, we're in a mental recession. All of that was being attached to John McCain. And here now, after all this time, on this one day, he changes his words from morning to afternoon. What's going on there, as you could tell?
Well, you know, we know that campaigns are all about narratives, right? They're the stories you're telling about yourself, about the problems facing the country and what can be done to fix it. For Democrats and Obama, it's a relatively simple narrative. Things are on the wrong track. The fundamentals are not sound. Washington is broken. These people have screwed things up. I have plans because I'm different than them. We're not of the same party. We have different philosophies. We will do things differently. It's not in their benefit. You know, they don't have to talk the economy down. The markets and the numbers we're getting are doing that for themselves. Now, McCain has a somewhat different task. He is running on this, Washington is broken, things are bad, we got to fix things, I know how to do it. But by the same token, when it comes to economic policy, he has, even though he voted against the Bush tax cuts in 2003, he has since embraced them. And on domestic policy and economic policy, his attitude is generally, you know, a sort of a concentrated version of what we've had. So, you know, he wants to extend the tax cuts. He wants to cut taxes further for corporations. He wants to have people take more of their health insurance burden on themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So he is, you know, at once sort of very much down with the overarching policy of the last 8 years, but at the same time, you know, running against the status quo. And that's why you see, you know, Bush and company, they have to come out and say the fundamentals are sound, because that's what presidents and administrations do. They're trying to head off panic. They have to project confidence. You know, they are like the captains on the boat. So McCain has to kind of walk a tightrope.
And by the same token, the Democrats have an investment, so to speak, in seeing the economy as weak and spreading pessimism and dissatisfaction, because that's to their electoral advantage. I mean, we were just talking in the last segment about how the projected job loss from this whole thing in New York City, at least so far, the projected job loss, according to Governor Patterson, is only a third of the job loss that we saw in the downturn here of the late 80s and early 90s. So, I mean, I guess both political parties have their incentives as to paint things very rosy or not rosy or, you know, just right rosy.
Right. But I think, you know, regardless of your partisan outlook, you know, fair-minded people can objectively look and say fundamentals are sound or they're not sound or things are on the upswing or on the downswing. And I think today in this campaign season, the preponderance of evidence suggests that things are not going that well. The unemployment rate, job loss, the stock markets themselves. When Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two largest financial institutions in this country, which guarantee half of our mortgages, when they fail and the taxpayers have to take them over, that fundamental is not sound. But I don't think Obama has to and his surrogates have to do too much of this gloom and doom mongering, because I just think that the statistics, the markets are telling us that every day.
Well, I'm sure they're trying to keep economics top of mind rather than cultural group identification and these other things that may not benefit them. But specifically, Does Obama call for any change in regulation? Could a change in regulation previously have headed off this problem with Lehman Brothers or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Well, he's giving a speech today about the reaction to the latest financial problems. If you go to McCain's and Obama's websites, and again, these problems we're seeing are really things that, you know, they may have been brewing for years, but have really only cropped up in the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't discussed in the primary. The people in the policy shops were not putting out draft papers on these. So, you know, we are in very much uncharted territory, seeing a huge amount of improvisation. So it's not surprising that neither campaign has a sort of five-point plan on, gee, what should we do with these failed investment banks? What do we do with AIG? You know, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, they don't know what to do with it either. They're trying to figure that out as we speak. And the larger issue, you know, I think unless they're going to pass a law that effectively prohibits greed and stupidity on Wall Street, that it's difficult to proactively regulate against this. What we saw, you know, there was not criminal behavior at Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. They were criminally stupid, criminally arrogant, the top executives. But it was not a question of
And there was some fraud out there on the front lines, tricking people into subprime mortgages that
yes,
they didn't really know
now,
what they were getting themselves into.
This is now, we are now a year and kind of 10 events in the chain of events removed from subprime mortgages in California and Las Vegas going bad last July. You know, Lehman Brothers' fate was probably avoidable by more astute management of risk and you know, if they had cut deals to sell off some of their big assets in March or April after Bear Stearns went down, they would have been and reduced some of their risk profile, they would have been in a much better position. I just think there's been a failure across the board at the very tops of these companies. Now, there are some regulatory things that can and probably should be done. One thing that we've seen recur time and time again in this cycle is these off-balance sheet structures where, you know, these investment banks create these entities, they put them off the balance sheet, they figure it's, you know, we don't have to pay for it if things go bad,
right,
but then when things go bad, they decide for the reputation's sake that they have to, in fact, pay for it, and boom, the shareholders get blindsided by
that. That's right. The shadow economy, as Paul Krugman called it when he was on the show yesterday,
yeah.
And still to come a little later in the program, and we're going to have to leave it here, Daniel, but we're going to talk about AIG. Some people are saying that this is even more threatening to the overall economy than the collapse of Lehman Brothers, but that AIG has this whole system. The insurance industry has this whole unregulated system of, you know, backroom insurance policies on credit defaults, which, of course, there are now so many credit defaults that it's threatening companies like AIG. But we have to leave it there right now with Daniel Gross from Slate.com and Newsweek, looking at the presidential race and the current financial crisis. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.